Oh, hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most, Donnie Kayfabe, Donnie Capri, the modern day goof. Damn, Black, coming at you like Cleopatra. Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, yee, yeah, yeah, yeah. The girl is mine. Hey, everybody. Woo! I'll tell you what.
Hey. Not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life. When I kick 5 girls out of bed, I go, woo! And they go, woo, 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 because they know they've been with the world champion.
That's right. Woo! Hey, everybody, that's what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving season. We're coming off too much wrestling.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. Hey, before we're going to get into this podcast, we're going to start. Look, I want to tell you what I'm thankful for. We're here with Nancy Newman. What up?
How about it?
That's right. Look, I want to just tell you guys, Thanksgiving is tomorrow or today, whenever you listen to this podcast, okay? I don't need to pretend it's the day this is.
Right.
You understand how this works. We record it before you hear it coming at you. I just want to say, everyone, that I am thankful for anyone who listens to this podcast. I'm thankful for the Cow Universe. I'm thankful for all the jabroniacs out there. Specifically, I'm thankful for this week for getting our first sign on television.
Oh, yeah. Who was it?
Thanks to our listener, Elizabeth Mueller, I believe her last name. Although Robert Mueller confuses me on how to pronounce that last name.
I thought it was Mueller.
Mueller, yeah. Mueller, like Mueller. Got a sign, a Gabba Yee sign.
We got to send her a t-shirt or something when we ever get t-shirts.
You can see a picture of it. Listener Erinfinity.
Screen grab.
As I know right now, our only 2 female listeners. There's got to be more coming at you.
Carrie O'Neill, I think.
Carrie O'Neill listens in?
I think occasionally she listens.
What up, Carrie Gabba Yee? You can check it out on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Join our Facebook page if you want to talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning.
It's true. It's true. I did it the other day. It was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock California time. Nick Tulo was up.
Always. Nick Tulo does not sleep.
Yeah.
He's watching his ponytail grow. All right. So, we got our first sign, and I think we're, just saying, I'm grateful for all the listeners, and I'm also grateful for professional wrestling for being an escape from this terrifying world that we live in. Newman, what are you thankful for before we go on?
I'm thankful for the distance in the airwaves between us and all of our disgusting listeners. I can't wait to get as far away from you as possible.
All right. I don't know. Anyway, the guy's a jerk. You know what I mean?
How about it?
Yeah. All right. Hey, so look, continuing this theme of gratitude, I want to say that also, according to producer Zig, we have a record number of cash-ins today. They're flowing in.
My phone has been blowing up for the past 3 days at all manner of the hours. I think we have like 9 cash-ins.
Would it be fair to say that this podcast has the most cash-ins on all podcasts on the UCB network?
Yes, that is very true. This has the most amount of user cash-ins we've ever had on any show.
So maybe it would be, welcome to the most listened to, that's hard to do. Welcome to the most listened to UCB,
You need some assistance?
Hold on,
let me get assistance.
Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to Miss TV,
Welcome to the podcast on the WWE Network with UCB.
Dashing.
Okay, so, all right, anyway.
Man, those drops are lightning hot right now.
Yeah, the drops are coming at you, baby.
He's in his element right now.
Cleopatra. All right, so, okay. So, because of the listeners at the most cash-ins, I think what I'm thinking is that we should put this podcast
under siege.
Under siege.
And do another episode of not This Is Your Life, like Foley did.
Right.
But we do an episode of This Is Your Podcast.
Oh, shit.
Where the cash-ins dictate the conversation. Let's see if this is even doable. So we're going to go through the cash-ins. Obviously, we'll let the cash-ins dictate. Now, let's see if you guys actually watched wrestling. Let's start off with Liz. I mean, I don't know if you go by Liz. You tell me in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. But forgetting the sign up, let's hear this opinion.
Gabba Gabba Yee, what's up? It's longtime listener and first time caller, Elizabeth Muller. I wanted to thank the Cow Universe first and foremost for helping me make my sign for NXT and get it on TV. That was awesome. And I'm just thinking back to how much fun I had at War Games. How great a show that was. And then I come home the next night watching Survivor Series. You watch Triple H walk in. You watch him do his thing as the game. And that's fine. But is it time for him to start running the show now? Is it time for him to take over for Vince? I say yes. You know, I would feel so much better about stuff like calling up 6 NXT ladies and maybe doing a Rumble. If Triple H and his crew were in charge of the writing and the booking. And that's all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, that's all I got. Happy Thanksgiving, Mark. May your house not get a visit from the gobbledygooker.
Okay. Hey, gobbledygooker, I was on College Humor original show, a show called... actually,
uh-huh.
And it's like a nerdy, it's like a game show,
right.
For like nerds where like you say, they give you a fact, like kind of a nerdy fact and something is wrong in it.
Right.
And then you have to answer by saying, actually, and correct it.
That's really funny.
It was very fun. It was me, Jackie Cashian, and Adam Lustig, baby. And I won. I mean, I don't know if that's a spoiler. I think they'll be all right. One of the questions was gobbledygooker.
No, really?
The thing wrong was that it was like they hatched, the egg hatched, and it was the Red Hawk or something.
Ah, yeah.
And then I was like, but I spaced on the name, and I was like, shit, what is it? I don't know why. My brain was going, because it was like, but then I eventually got it.
Right.
I was like, the gobbledygooker, the gobbledygooker. And that's probably what threw me off, is my new catchphrase coming at you. And anyway, all right. So, Elizabeth, awesome. Thank you for getting that sign up. Let's keep these signs going. I think that, look, obviously a merch plan is in the works here. Okay? Merch in the works. I'm thinking about getting some kind of cow sign in the mix as part of the merch.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that you won't have to be like, oh, I got to make a sign, this. You'll have the sign ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe we'll, I don't know. I got to look into it. I don't want to say something and then I say the wrong thing. But There's a lot of plate spinning. I got an idea.
Boss stuff.
Okay, anyway. So, Elizabeth brought up a great point.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying Triple H. She went to War Games, and then you go to watch Survivor Series, and you're like, oh, I'm watching a legend show.
Yeah.
I said it as Survivor Series was happening at the end there. I'm like, the exact quote I said while watching was like, this feels like the Legends match that happens before the NBA All-Star game.
right, you know what I mean?
It's just like, you know, you have like Angle, Triple H, they're in there. Like, in sports, when that happens, it's like kind of cute.
Right.
In wrestling, these are the strongest guys.
Right.
Shane, only Strowman was in there, and obviously he came out on top. But yeah, so is it time for Triple H to step aside and run the thing? Now, you know, it's hard to say. One of the points you brought up that was really great, the point that it's like, hey, she would feel better about these women being brought up if Triple H was writing. Because
right.
It seems like he handles them so well in NXT.
True.
But then in the main... But I don't think it's his decision. Like,
right.
I think Vince is still very much going, you know?
In NXT? You think?
What?
You think it's Vince's influence is still in NXT?
No. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Say Vince is running her point was like Triple H should retire and take Vince's spot.
Oh, right.
And I don't think he has that choice.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously he still wants to wrestle, but. Right.
Oh, no, Vince's not going to retire. Vince will die and then someone will take that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's not, yeah. Or, you know, unless he get, or he gets so sick that he can't do it. But I don't think he's going to, like, willingly step down.
No.
And
no,
I think
no.
even if he, like, gets really sick, he's going to, like, sit in Connecticut, Stanford, with a headset.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to do it. Obviously, it's time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously, it's obviously time because, what are we waiting for? I mean, why? I mean, it's not like Vince should go away, but why not? While Vince is still, still healthy,
right?
Why not give it to Triple H and supervise it a little bit,
right? Yeah.
Right, like why not pass it? I know that's hard ego wise, but yeah, totally. The good point is that like NXT is so successful, Triple H has completely proven himself, also like, and I think you're hitting. I think do we want to see him wrestle? I mean, how much do you? The casual fan, do they want to see when they hear Triple H is wrestling at Mania? They want to see it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, because they probably stopped watching when a lot of people stopped watching, right. Which was when the Ruthless Aggression era started, and they remember Triple H from DX and the Attitude Era, and yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Triple H cuts a great promo, maybe better promo than anyone on the current roster still. He still looks awesome, and he does have this thing where he is in this like sweet spot of like where you do think he is like the top management. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like he's booking, you know. Yeah. But then he can also wrestle, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I mean, truthfully, I don't know if I would get rid. I'd be like, hey, I don't know if I would be like, let's get rid of him because why not? While we still can, before you know, he won't be able to.
Right.
But I agree, he shouldn't be booked so strongly.
Yeah. Who, Triple H?
Yeah, he's booked stronger than Cena. He's booked stronger than other guys who are in his spot.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, who's going to tell Triple H that he's not going to be booked that way?
Yeah. So, how did you feel? I think this ties into the finish.
Yeah.
Especially the roster so deep is what makes it tricky. If tomorrow, I guess what I'm saying is, like, if tomorrow they were like, hey, Triple H is going to, like, take over that spot. But I don't even think they'll ever formally announce that.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You said the finish?
Yeah, the finish of that match. What did you feel about the thing where he, like, took Shane's side? He pinned Angle.
Yeah.
And then he pinned Shane.
So
The cerebral games he was playing.
Well, I think...
The assassination of cerebralness.
I hope I'm not overthinking this, but I feel like what he did was he did what everybody accuses him of on purpose, right? Like he's going to make it about him,
right.
Steal the show, get the win for himself, and then that sets up Strowman to be this babyface against Triple H, who's this indie killer, who's this like up-and-coming performer barrier. So then we have Strowman being this face against him. So I think he did it on purpose. He did the thing that people accuse him of doing always on purpose. So I think it works in that way.
Right.
Because he comes across as like, oh, it's Triple H. He's burying people. That makes people want Strowman to body slam him to death.
See, I like the cool thing that's going on where it's kind of muddied.
Yeah.
I like when it's like Strowman... Power slams him. He also has beef with Angle. Then there's Shane in the air too. Like I like that. It's like, oh, there's a lot of plates in the air or whatever. But they never seem to make that all work.
Right.
Like if you remember going into Taker Reigns last year, you're like, how does Strowman fit in this? Remember he was attacking Reigns all the time?
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, he just does it.
He does it at all. Yeah.
He just does it at all. So I'm worried that this is all just kind of like whatever, but was still walking away. I feel like Triple H didn't get the reaction he wanted. I think he wanted the reaction to be like, hey, I'm going to pin or Angle. It's going to lull Shane into a sense of safety. And like, look at the mind games I played. Then I just pedigree him fast.
Right.
But I think the audience was more confused by it than anything.
Yeah. They were all Strowman. They were quizzically looking at him.
Like, right.
Why boss man hurt other boss man?
Oh, right. Yeah, it really fucked with Strowman's mind.
Yeah.
My cerebral is assassinated.
Cool. Good. All right. I mean, what do you think, while we're talking about that match, what do you think about that match?
I liked it. I mean, there was a lot of complaints about Survivor Series. I liked the show. I liked that match a lot. I like, and I was actually surprised at how fluid it was. I thought it was going to be a shit show, like a schmoz fest shit show, but it was, I thought it flowed pretty well.
How do you feel with them pinning Shinsuke first?
I mean, they don't respect him at all. Yeah. That's known. They spent 2 months making fun of his accent and his eyes, and then he loses clean.
They had like 4 weeks in a row of gender being like me Chinese,
mm-hmm.
like right?
Yeah, exactly. You Chinese, you play joke.
Yeah,
pin you in the middle of the
week. All right. Anyway, this is not my show. Moving on. Great cash in. Let's see. Can we get another great cash in? You guys want to hear from my dad?
Yeah, of course.
You guys want to hear? Look, my dad. Everyone. All right. For listeners who missed last week, fuck you. first off, actually. Shame. oh, man.
Sierra.
Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield. I messed it up.
Delta.
Oh, my God. All right. My dad. My dad is listening to the podcast now. He loves it. He loves cash in. And he asked me 2 weeks in a row being like, what time do I got to get the cash in? He's very concerned with getting it. I'm like, you could do it early.
Yeah.
There's no time. I don't know. He likes to get it in at the bell. All right. So, hey, you guys remember my dad? He gave Ronda Rousey's catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Rossi.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Yeah.
Not even Rousey.
No, Ronda Rousey.
You smell what the Rossi. Yeah, all right. hey, let's hear what my dad has to say.
Hey, this is Richard Blackston's dad. Well, we've come a long way since those little black shorts that the wrestlers used to wear in my heyday, to the costumes of today where the wrestlers dress like superheroes. But I just want to point out that the man with the greatest costume of all, a kilt, also made the greatest wrestling movie of all times. And no other than the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper in They Live,
mm-hmm.
the movie They Live, with the greatest fight scene of all time.
Yeah.
Well, in the moral words of Roddy Piper, I came here to chew gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
I love your dad.
I came here to chew gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, man. It's incredible.
We should give him like a weekly segment or something.
Fuck.
I mean, we just did. Oh, my God.
Way to grab the ring. Way to grab the brass
All
ring.
All right, he guess he didn't see Survivor Series. He didn't check
so
out.
Now we talk about They Live.
No, I think we just got another sound drop from my dad, which is him misquoting Rowdy Piper.
His favorite wrestler actor.
In They Live. Now, he's not wrong. He did talk about Rousey. And for my dad, fun fact is that Rowdy Piper gave permission to Ronda Rousey to use
Rowdy
as her nickname.
That's awesome. I was a big Rowdy Piper mark when I was a kid.
What? He never held any belts, right?
I don't think so. No. No, I don't think so.
Can we look that up?
I feel like I can picture him with an IC belt, but I that might just be my imagination.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
he never had the heavyweight belt. That I know, but I wasn't sure if he had. But I never actually saw that movie.
Really?
My dad talked about it my whole life.
Oh, it's good.
Which you could tell. But yeah. I'm gonna watch that. I'm gonna watch that. Great. Well, hey, that's not about Survivor Series. I think we should enjoy that and move on.
There's no discussion to be had. It perfectly encapsulated.
One thing is my dad, he's just like, hey, Tulo, the Tulo guy. Is that the Tulo you went to school with?
Oh.
You played Little League with him.
He's been made.
Yeah, he talks about Tulo coming at you, Cleopatra. All right. Let's get a, here we go. Here's a cash in.
9:31 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
9:31.
Sunday, November 19th. Morning after War Games NXT. Hey guys, how you doing? Matthew? Newman?
How
you doing, bud? Guys, I have been touting Aleister Black for I don't even know how long since I started watching wrestling again. And so many naysayers on the Cal Facebook page, so many naysayers on the Squared Circle subreddit have been saying, what is up with this Team Dream feud? Well, you know what? Last night, we saw that. Mm-hmm. We saw the end of that storyline, and it was amazing. You cannot get better writing in that at all. That was just an amazing ending. He got what he wanted, but he lost the match.
Yeah.
What a great ending. It was amazing. And just for Dan, just for you, I drank two cups of coffee before, you know, I called in.
Yeah,
I got all the
gobble,
energy for you. You're welcome, bud. Watch NXT. Watch Aleister Black. He's coming back. In black. In black.
Now, look, obviously, everyone knows I'm an Aleister Black mark. He's my uncle.
Yeah. you have an uncle that looks like him?
Yeah, no, he's, well, my Black. Uncle
right.
Aleister.
Yeah, Uncle Aleister.
He's coming over,
Uncle
actually.
Al, yeah.
He's coming over. He's bringing his Satan. I don't know. His bottle of Satan. he's bringing his warp to hell. Look, hey, match of the weekend. Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black. Would we say that?
Yeah, it might be my favorite match of the year.
That's bold.
I'm not saying best, I'm saying my favorite.
One thing I dug about the match was the
fashion.
Aleister Black Velveteen Dream's Rick Rude pants.
Yeah, man.
Which, by the way, the technology, I bumped into Mike Lawrence, friend of the show, Mike Lawrence, coming at you. We were talking about the technology since Rude.
Yeah.
The airbrushing technology since, like, it was good then.
Yeah.
Now it's perfect.
Right.
I mean, Aleister Black looked exactly like himself.
Yeah.
The detail was great. The pants were awesome. Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black. Yeah, the match was amazing.
Yeah. Previously with airbrush pants, you had to go to like a booth in Atlantic City.
Or my bar mitzvah.
Or your dad's bar mitzvah. And they would work that out for you. But yeah man, like, God. I mean, I could go on and on about Aleister Black. He looks cool when he strikes. He has cool submissions. That like octopus like crucifix thing that he snapped on Velveteen Dream was awesome. But Velveteen Dream has arrived.
Yeah,
that guy. I mean, he came out. He looked insane. that Indian like vest and the Jimi Hendrix sunglasses and the hair. Yeah, I mean, and he looked incredible. He sold well. It was great.
Yeah, the match was terrific. I think
and the ending. Yeah, the ending was perfect.
Yeah, the ending was great. He got the validation he so craved.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, terrific. Obviously a big black mark. I hate to be this guy.
Yeah.
Too sloppy of a midriff for me.
Okay.
I think Aleister Black could tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't agree. I don't disagree.
Or he cover himself with more tattoos.
Right.
It's kind of weird thing where he's covered in tattoos, except on his like belly and
it hurts.
Yeah, is it hurt more there?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it's like
anywhere
more
where
tender.
There's skin and fat. So like skin. So if you have like if you're muscular, it doesn't hurt that much. But if you have fat under your skin, the fat has more nerve endings in it than muscle, so it hurts like a motherfucker.
Oh shit. Hey, would you ever get a tattoo while we record?
Yeah.
We get an artist to come in here.
Yeah.
What I get? Hey, how about this? If something incredible in wrestling happens, that you feel inspired to get a tattoo about that event,
okay,
would you do that?
Yeah,
then record it on here. Has anything been close? Has wrestling and tattoos ever crossed your mind? For me, it has.
Sure,
but I'm not a tattoo guy.
Right. It would have to be something. It would have to be. I would probably get. Like something stylized that like represents like the Undertaker, for example, but
right.
Like not his symbol or not just
well,
him.
Symbols stink.
Yeah. But something, you know, like
a lot of things about Undertaker stink.
Like his urn or something, right. Or like, you know, yeah, I would, yeah. If I saw something cool enough, I would definitely get it.
All right, cool.
Because that's all tattoos are. I don't have like tattoos that I think like have like meaning. I just get tattoos that I think look cool.
Here's something I'll say. For one million.
We got a message. Another message gets
oh
slid under
God.
The door.
A message just slid under the door here. I want to say for $1 million here, I will get the birth dates of AJ Styles' kids tattooed
for how much?
On my obliques.
For how much?
If we could all raise $1
million. $1
million. $1
million. Gotta say, Dan, I think we're going to fall short of that.
The worst thing is if I got offered that, I would hate that.
Yeah.
Wait, we got a message just slid under the door. We still got more cash-ins coming at you.
Dan's going to step away from the booth for a second. Let's go pick up this message. What do we got? It's a post-it, or it's a card. With a name
it says,
on it.
Marty Jane Minetti.
Marty J. Anuminetti. So it's like my
Marty Janumanetti. Janumanetti. Oh, Marty Janumanetti. All right. I feel like this is from building manager Phil DeCostello.
Yeah, I think so too.
Phil DeCostello.
The building's closed for the holiday.
Well, he's banned from the show, so he's not allowed to come in. So hopefully he doesn't show up. All right, moving on. Next cash. Yeah. Oh, no. The door is rumbling. Boy.
Is that Phil's music? That's got to be Phil.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. He's got a key.
He's got the keys.
And he's wearing a Kevin Owens shirt.
Oh, man. It's a good thing
I hope you're here to apologize for your behavior the last time you were on the podcast when I was on my honeymoon.
Nope, not
talked
at all.
A lot of shit about my fandom.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I would kick you out of here, but I can't because you got keys here. Full-on Newman Nation here.
Newman World Order, baby.
All right, well, look.
Phil is the Adam Cole.
I mean, okay.
In the
Phil, all right. If you're here, you're here.
I'm here.
All right, we're going through cash-ins from listeners. Okay. Listeners calling in, all right?
Can you
at least respect the listeners?
We're under siege.
I always respect the listeners.
Right, yeah, okay. So anyway, the podcast is now double under siege. All right,
that's captivating.
So here's another cash-in. Wait, did you hear Ronda Rousey's new catchphrase from my dad?
No.
Here it is.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
My dad called in. All right.
Oh, man. Aren't you glad you walked in here?
All right, we got a bunch to go through. Let's go. Here we go.
2:38 a.m.
Whoa.
So, my name is Bruce Wayne Huff of Huffinish. I just got done watching.
Bruce Wayne doesn't do the Batman voice.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
War Games special. My God, was it incredible. I just wanted to give a cash in on the War Games concept in the Velveteen Dream. On paper, I thought they were going to fail. Unlike me, Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Gotham City.
What is it?
And Huffnish. But they...
What? Should I cut this off?
What is happening?
No, this is good. But one thing that I like is that if you've ever been around and you don't know who Batman is, and you've heard Batman speak, get out of the way, whatever it is, you could probably now, Bruce Wayne speaking like this, you could probably do the math here and figure it out.
If Bruce Wayne walked around being like, hey, how are you?
Yeah,
I'm a rich guy. I love pussy.
The Wayne Foundation's going to dedicate money to this charity.
Bruce, why are you talking like that?
You sound a lot like Batman.
I dare you to dig up a problematic past of me.
when he's Batman, he's like, hey,
the fashion,
cleaning up the streets.
Especially the Velveteen, a really dumb character on paper. But what a fantastic performance! I was rooting for him over Alice. I'd like to know what you guys think about me. But for now, I'm going to go protect Gotham.
Wait a minute.
Huffinish.
Wait, Bruce Wayne.
Why would Bruce Wayne protect Gotham?
I mean, come on, man. Show my podcast a little more respect than this. You can think you're bit out.
You've heard it here. Batman has been outed as Bruce Wayne on this podcast.
What's more controversial, Batman being outed as Bruce Wayne or Bruce Wayne being outed as a WWE mark?
Hey, huge mark.
Outing Batman, you shouldn't out anybody, okay?
Right. Don't dox Batman.
Yeah, don't dox Batman. All right, cash in. Here, Charlie Lynn. He's normally good.
Dan Black. Donsky Blackamora.
I think he's gonna shoot on you.
He's asked me to get excited, to get fired up. Well, it's 0100 hours.
Zero,
it's
by the way.
Military time, and I'm fired up.
We got a vet here. Yeah, we got respectful coming at you.
No, not because of some has-been MMA fighters that can't take a loss without crying for a year.
It's
not
Brock
because
or
of Roman Reigns coming back. Fuck Roman Reigns.
Whoa. Ooh. Hot take.
Because Stephen Amell is in the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I'm fired up because NXT TakeOver War Games was the best wrestling I've seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why I'm really fired up?
Why is that?
Because I stuck with you when all the others were doing their rise, record, resist. But now I realize Dan Black can't even recognize the different voices of his podcast fans.
Ooh, ooh, shit.
Well, to be fair.
So, Dan, here's what's going to happen.
I mean,
every week from here on out,
oh, shit.
I am going to put the Comedians of Wrestling podcast under siege.
Oh! Oh.
I am Charlie the Dryer Lynch, and you will recognize my voice, and you will acknowledge me and say my name.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Fuck the revival.
Oh,
even.
All right. All right. Hey. Oh, yeah, listen, guys, the concept of this is your podcast is a privilege, not a right. And look, I might have to do away with this. Not all features work. You got to test it out, man. Think of all the SNL characters that have hit the floor. yeah. Hey, sorry I didn't recognize your voice. I don't know. What was he mad at me about? Calling us Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, I'm supposed to recognize who you guys are.
I think you called him one of the Huff dudes by accident. We're reading out his cash-in. That's what pops into mind.
I mean, look, guys, you all stretch. Sound the same.
Everyone's going into the business for themselves. Yeah. Huff, who can keep track? Who's in Huff Nation? Who's just a regular person? I don't know. Anyway,
you got to pull your phone away from your neck beard because it's just rubbing up against it.
Me?
No, not you.
All the neck beard listeners who wish they were in the Newman World Order. That's who we're talking to.
Oh, yeah. All right, so hey, NXT, people seem fired up at NXT. How do we feel about that pay-per-view? I mean, this is what I could take away, the vagaries of just NXT was good.
Yeah.
What do we think about the War Games match specifically? No one's mentioned it.
I don't think there was anything not to like. I think, you brought up that the two rings felt arbitrary.
Oh, yeah, we talked before. I thought the format of War Games was pretty stupid, to be honest. Like, I thought, like, the two rings next to each other were, like, it was cool, but I was like, it doesn't play in at all into what the match is. Like, we've seen matches with three-person tag teams
right.
in the ring. I still liked it. Don't get me wrong. I still had fun with it. Like, right. the spot.
I feel like if you're going
to... But gonna, I was like, why not have a pin in each ring, is what I'm saying.
Well,
or something like that.
I feel like if you're going to do something weird, like have a timed entry multi-team
right.
thing going on, to like have a single cage or a single ring is kind of like... We're already weird, so like let's keep it weird and then do two rings. It's also a lot of dudes to fit in,
right.
I think. I think it's also that the idea of that whole match is a spectacle, and half of it is because there's two rings on it.
Right.
So I am all for it, because that is just a strange-looking thing to begin
with.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. We had listeners who were there,
yeah.
and they were like, hey, you'll see me in the next match. Because they were switching off rings.
I totally appreciate. I thought that was so fucking cool that they would do that, so that like they were even-handed if you were in the house where like you could like see...
The visibility sucks if you're on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And
totally.
They're in the opposite ring.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
it's still like, I want to, I mean, it's just, I love the idea of that match. I always did when I was a kid. But like, it is just, it's distracting when there's just another ring there that's just kind of like darkened and like you can't really see it. And like,
for the rest of the pay per view, you mean?
Yeah. Because like, I also feel like if we're supposed to like appreciate wrestling as like a sport in the grand scheme of the dramatic storytelling and everything else. If I were a wrestler and I were in there, I would be tempted to use that other ring, even though it's like not there. Because if you can do things outside of the ring, what would stop you from doing that?
They definitely, the directive from Triple H was like, guys, pretend like that other ring isn't there because it'll ruin the main event if you start using it.
Yeah.
But
still, like,
for me, I was like, I like World War III.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Like that concept. And also, even the whatever the Ready to Rumble matches where the three cages on top of each other.
Yeah.
I like those in concept better.
Sure.
I'm not saying in execution.
Right.
I imagine World War III was a nightmare logistically.
Yeah.
Like for house.
Absolutely.
It also takes up so many paid seats.
Yeah. It does.
To have three rings. But
yeah.
because that's essentially like a monster truck setup now. But like I'm saying, in that it was like, hey, the matches happened, and it's almost like a bracket, and then we consolidate.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, now it's like, all right, now we're getting to see a tournament in real time.
Yeah,
right. There's something about that that I like.
Yeah,
and then also it's like, oh, when three cages are on top of each other, I think the belt hangs. So it's just like a ladder match with a cage match.
Yeah.
There's something that cool there. This war game is essentially just like, all right, it's just a bigger cage.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if I were sitting and watching that live, barring the other matches, I would be like totally into the idea. To see like two wrestling rings next to each other is just nuts to me. And then because I love to like dig deep and like stupid storytelling stuff, just the idea that they're like paying homage to this crazy ass idea and that hasn't been done in like 20 years.
Okay.
And they're doing it with NXT with like newer guys, and pretty much like the first time that Undisputed Era is out as a group, to my knowledge, of like together, and really like the biggest match they've ever done, which is, you know, basically their first match.
Yeah.
And then those other teams, and then to throw Roderick Strong in there, which is just crazy and insanity to be able to be a trio. Awesome.
Yeah.
I was so excited for it, and it paid off.
But the randomness of, like, I liked the match. The match was awesome. Look, every NXT takeover is great.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I forgot which one. Maybe it was the SummerSlam one, where I was like, that was the most fluid, entertaining wrestling program I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm not like shitting on NXT or anything. Obviously, I like it as well. I also love that it gets me like, I love when it's, even though there's too much programming, I wish they would take off Monday and Tuesday after these programs or whatever or something. But like, I also love how different the Saturday night show is than the Sunday night show.
Absolutely.
Like, that's really fun.
Yeah.
I'm saying like Elimination Chamber, I like that it's like, okay, it's elimination and it's random who comes in.
Yeah.
This was just like, why this team comes in? Why didn't they all just start in the cage?
I guess because the match doesn't start till everybody's in. So it's like, no holds barred.
Well, it's
no holds barred.
I think it's a fun, like, layered and possibly two layered of storytelling where you get like the first team comes in and it's Undisputed Era. So they just get to like beat the shit out of everybody.
Right.
And honestly, they should probably just have been like spamming their finishing moves on those guys. But you can't do that. So they just like beat those next dudes up. And then what's fun about the storytelling is like you get Authors of Pain in, and they come in with their own unique brand of like bludgeoning and beating the shit out of everybody, and it kind of like evens up the match a little bit, and Eric Young's all alone, so then you're like, oh my god, Eric Young's getting the shit kicked out of him by all these guys. And then Sanity comes in, and they come in doing their own brand of shit, and that includes all of the weapons and everything else. This is like really good heightening and really good storytelling.
I agree, but I'm saying is that, like, I think for me is that the random element work in Elimination Chamber, it fits the thing of like, oh, it fits the motif more.
Right.
But I'm saying in this, it was like, why not, like, whoever scores the first pin, their team comes in.
Oh, sure.
Like, something like that where it's like, it's a...
Oh, and then you just keep...
And then it's like,
the
okay,
match.
And then you win when you get this two pins is to win.
Right.
You know what
I
mean? Like, something like that, I think for me, because it kept being like, oh, my, only Dusty could have thought this thing up. And I was like, this thing is, like, a little random.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I have a peeve with randomness.
I do.
I have a peen with and it works in the Elimination Chamber. I love that, like, that in that match it works so well because you're like, oh my god, like, you got to be ready. Like, this match is a real wild card of a match.
Right.
That's what I like about it. You know.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say is here's an opinion that can go fuck itself, and I've seen this all over the internet. People saying, if there's no ceiling on the cage, it's not War Games. Like,
that's
the most nitpicky fucking smart. Like, stop. Go outside. Go outside for a fucking moment in your life. Step away from the computer.
So if you think, you know what happens if you think?
Do you know what happens if you think that there's no ceiling, it's not War Games? Do you know what happens, IWC? Do you understand what happens when you complain about if there's a ceiling or not on the War Games match? Do you? IWC? You just made the swamp!
Wait, the full IWC?
All of them!
No, the specific... All right, okay. All right, hey, you just made the swamp. All right, let's move on to the next cash-in, all right?
Hey, guys, this is Joseph Kibler. I wanted to do a cash-in on the women's division. I think it's awesome, these call-ups that have happened. The fact that we have six more women on the roster is fantastic. I think there's so many storylines that they can do with this, with feuds, with backstabbing, just all sorts of things, even if it's a little weird that they did the exact same story for Raw as they did for SmackDown, I think there's good potential. Maybe they're all aligned together. Who knows? I hope this leads to a Women's Royal Rumble. If nothing else, it's just nice to see that there's more depth. I've wanted Ruby Riott on the main division for the longest time because I think she'd be great with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And the fact that she's already coming up as a heel could lead to that because I think factions are fun and they just make everything so much better. So that's it. That's what I got.
All right.
Have
so
a good one. Peace out, Cow Nation.
Yeah.
Yes. Agree.
Yeah, that's great. And that Joe Kibler, he's a legit dude. He's got a nice, solid opinion there. Look, biggest complaint even we talked about last week is the women's division is so thin.
Right.
Shallow. It's like, yo, if there's gonna be two belts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. 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 Now, I mean, definitely, it already seems when Paige came back, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
Just her being back already made the women's division feel more exciting. Like, oh fuck, like she's
was
back.
She drunk?
She seemed drunk.
Probably.
She seemed
such a liability.
She seemed drunk.
But that's what is so awesome about Paige.
Yeah.
Paige is so interesting now that she's a fuck up.
Yeah.
Like it's.
She's really good on the mic too. I forgot how well she can handle.
Well,
that.
I think she's actually that was the best she's been on the mic.
Yeah.
I actually don't think she was ever that good on the mic.
Yeah.
I think she's
sauced up.
She's now become like. I don't know what happened to her. She broke bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, Paige broke bad. Like, she, you know, she's been gone for, like, a year. A lot has happened to her in that year.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to get into a lot of it.
It was
but
only a year?
She said a year.
Jesus.
It's probably, was it more than a year?
I don't know.
I think it might have been, well, a wrestling year is, like, 10 years.
That is true.
But, like, she came back and it definitely felt like she was gone from TV, but not from my social media.
Right.
Not from
the zeitgeist.
Like the zeitgeist at all. Like she had a looming specter,
uh-huh.
And you felt her evolving in the wrong way.
Right.
Outside of this, right?
Well, I think, yeah, she was just becoming a person. Like,
a lady.
Yeah, but it's just like,
well, yeah, but
how
it's like,
she?
All
she's
like 25, right? She's like,
just people, because like you have like rabid ass wrestling fans and shit, like a person just growing up, even if they're in some sort of like celebrity status, like given it that it's so concentrated to wrestling fans,
yeah.
It just looked worse.
Yeah, totally. And I say that she came back, Paige came back, and then like she beat up Alexa Bliss, and it was kind of like apropos. I actually like mentally was like, hey, Alexa Bliss doesn't seem at all like a badass when Paige is around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Paige is like, I mean, she's like the real deal.
Yeah.
She doesn't go home.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what it
feels
like. She might not come back next week. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
She's like a real, like, Sid and Nancy situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And but like, that's why it feels exciting now. Like, as soon as she came back, I was like, oh, shit. Now, you know, because she's going to come and run roughshod over people, and I'm here for it.
And the women's division has never had, like a wild card. They never had, like, the, you know, like, Austin was, like, pretty tumultuous. I mean, he's not the best example, but he did, like, I mean, he did, like, have domestic abuse problems. He did, like,
but I don't know if that was, like, news or, like, because we're living in a different time. And now she is, like, that kind of weird loose cannon, like that.
It's more like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. No, she's Jeff Hardy. She's, like, the, like.
Jess Hardy.
Yeah, Jess Hardy.
She's Jess Hardy.
But, yeah, like. She's going to be on Raw, and you're going to loan her $500, and you're not going to see her for 3 weeks.
And Paige definitely owes a lot of people $500.
Oh, yeah.
but, yeah. My old man, he's sick.
Yeah, my old man, he's sick.
Happy to see Paige. She's definitely awesome.
I'm excited to see call-ups, and, like,
and
it
Mandy,
is.
Yeah.
It
Mandy,
is.
Mandy Rose.
Yeah. Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Ruby Riott.
Sarah Logan
and
Liv Morgan.
Who
has improved?
Who I got confused. Who I thought was Mandy Rose. By the way.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, I knew there was different, but they like
Liv Morgan has really improved over the last like year in NXT. I'm glad that she's up.
Yeah.
It's funny to see like how they get a lot of people that either have like a breadth of experience outside of WWE, and then the other ones that go through that whole. Like training center kind of like process, because I don't remember seeing Mandy Rose on TV more than like four or five times.
I mean,
tops.
She's barely. I barely saw her on NXT. Yeah.
Right. That's
when
what
we
I'm
saw,
saying.
When
like,
we went
you
to
see
the
her in house shows.
We went to the house to a house show here in LA. Phil and I, not that we're friends or anything.
No,
we just happened to be there at the same time.
How about
and,
it?
Yeah. And Mandy Rose was over. Was really over. But I mean. In a swampy way, because she's like super hot, so all the guys there were like chanting,
yeah,
like you know, for her.
She looks like a first string porn star.
Yeah,
like,
just, right.
Yeah,
she works really well though.
She looks
good.
Like Pam Anderson, barbed wire days. Like
yeah.
She has like literally the same.
Trish Stratus tattoos. Yeah. She reminds me of Trish Stratus. Yeah.
And do you think that they've toned down Carmella's Staten Islandness preparing for Liv Morgan's call up?
Oh, maybe because they have the exact same gimmick.
It could be.
Oof. Anyway, yeah,
too close to home for you.
I what
the whole Staten
Jersey
Island?
No, I just was gonna be a little swampy.
it's good that you caught yourself.
yeah, a little swampy. I'm attracted to women. I don't know what you guys want me to say.
I don't think. Yeah. That's
anyway,
fine.
So Paige is like. Major league. That's what I want to say. Like, Paige is like major league.
Yeah.
These other girls, like, when Paige is in the room, like, it's time to step up.
Yeah.
And she's setting, I feel like she sets the bar for, like, grabbing that press ring.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I hope we start hearing that, like, Paige is showing up drunk. Like,
it's
but,
like
I, but I hope she can also
thing.
Still work hard and still do a good job.
Yeah.
But I want her to keep.
She's only 25. There's time for her to grow up.
All right, cash in. Here we go.
G R E A M. Yeah. Bring his ass up.
What?
Who?
Was that the whole what?
G-R-E-A-M, yeah. Bring his ass up.
Dream. Drew, he's probably talking about Drew McIntyre.
D-R-E-A-M, yeah. D-R-E-A-M, do it again.
Oh, Velveteen Dream?
Yeah.
G-R-E-A-M,
yeah. Yeah, baby.
G-R-E-A-M.
Bring D-R-E-A-M. His ass up.
D-R-E-A-M.
I don't bring his ass up.
I don't think.
Oh,
D-R-E-A-M,
no.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think
bring
he needs to get like so
up.
Hard into his gimmick where it's like, I mean, it's already kind of undeniable,
yeah.
But like you get it to the point where like
more
people,
princy.
More princy, more sassy, all of that Rick Rude shit,
yeah.
I think really translates. Because
yeah.
I think like right now.
You looking at him?
Just looked him up.
I mean, Zing had no idea what he looked like until this very moment.
Fucking dude. Cartoon character.
Yeah,
he's
great.
He's amazing.
But he, I just think like I don't see the mainstream WWE crowd really biting into
look,
this. So.
It's the same thing we say NXT down there. It's like they gotta. He doesn't need wrestling training anymore. I mean,
right.
You'll get obviously that's not true. But his main focus should be on costuming. It should be on
promos.
On promos, on like how to control, like facial control,
yeah.
Voice control. Like literally, it should be like things to become an Undertaker-esque character. Like not the same vibe, but I mean like a character that's that nuanced because that's what the Dream needs.
Right. I feel like he needs like a
he needs
like
to
a
like
Rick Rude,
not make
Mick Rick Rude, Rick Martel. Like, he just needs to be two Ricks in one.
Yeah.
And I really think that, like, that... I mean, he needs zero notes from me right now anyway. I think he's... That whole thing was like...
I think you're wrong. I think he needs notes, but, I mean, maybe not from us, but part of the conceit of the show that we pretend that they do need notes from us, but
yeah.
Is like... But, look, he's in the Rude zone, the Bobby Rude zone. You know, where it's like these guys come up and then and Shinsuke, where they come up and they're falling flat. That doesn't mean they can't recover.
Yeah.
But like it'd be nice for these guys to come in and be ready to rock. Now obviously some of that is booking. But I think if Velveteen Dream came up right now, the mainstream crowd does not care about the matches as much.
Right.
So he needs to come out and make an impact with the character. And the character's good. We're all ready for the character. But his execution on that character needs work.
I just think if you still got a crowd that's chanting USA at anybody that's not American, you're going to get a crowd that's just going to call him gay.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. But
I just
wait. You think they're gonna say like you are gay?
No,
like a full on.
Their first. I think their initial reaction would be like, it would be like
boo
know,
because
boo.
He's
yeah.
queer.
Yeah.
Like that's basically going to be like the take.
But yeah. if that gets heat.
I've seen two house shows. One was in Riverside, California,
uh-huh.
and the other one was down there. What downtown?
Downtown,
right? And Riverside's reaction to him was completely different than downtown Los Angeles.
Well, downtown was super progressive.
Well, it was more so supportive and like kind of ironic, like this is awesome and hilarious.
Right.
And Riverside was more so like, we want to see this guy get his ass kicked.
Right.
But and for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Not because he said Riverside sucks or anything like that.
Which it does.
Which it does.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, go down there in Christmas. It's pretty sweet. Oh, nice. Yeah, actually, right around now.
Oh,
it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. By the way, Christmas still alive on this podcast.
It's true.
The war on Christmas is not happening.
Yeah,
here,
the war games on Christmas.
The war games on Christmas. Even though I'm super Jewish, I still want everyone to only celebrate Christmas. look, Velveteen Dream. I guess, like, gay heat is heat.
Right.
You can make that argument, like, gold dust heat. But also, I like to give the WWE Universe more credit probably than they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, WWE shouldn't be goading USA chants.
Yeah.
The Jinder Mahal thing was such a botch.
Yeah.
To just be like, oh, I'm India. Like, they started it by actually calling out, like, xenophobia.
Right.
And it was like, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
He was like, you don't like me because I'm Indian. But then it morphed into just, like, full-on Cold War Soviet.
Yeah.
And then he went up against a Japanese guy who's almost like, I don't know if this is a thing, but more foreign, just because Jinder's Canadian.
Right.
He's English speaking.
Yeah.
You know?
Has zero accent.
Probably lives in Orlando.
He's from the Western world.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, well, now we've shot ourselves in the foot because the nuance here is like totally gone, right?
Yeah.
All right. So also on Bring His Ass Up, just in case it doesn't come up, Drew McIntyre, is he coming up? I mean, that loss was surprising to me.
Yeah.
Well, not after his arm's all fucked up, no, but.
His arm's fucked up?
Oh, yeah. He tore his bicep.
Well, during the match.
An actual for shoot?
That's a shoot. Oh, you can tell he did it because he held that rope too long when they did that DDT.
Man.
No, he's fucked for like 6
months. That DDT?
Yeah.
That looked bad.
That's bad. I mean, you can see how he grabbed his arm and he like rubbed it from like one way, like down his wrist to his elbow and back. That's like a thing where like, there's a separation there, and he's like feeling his like muscles.
It's a big bicep to rip.
It's brutal. So I maybe thought he was going to be called up, but I think that's too soon. Also, but I root for the guy. I think he deserves all the success, but I don't know if it's booking or writing or just charisma. I'm not really invested in him as a champion.
In Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Andre NXT.
How do you say his name?
Andrade?
Andrade? I know, I should know that.
No, Andrade, 100%.
Yeah, Tranquilo.
100%.
He's cool. I like him. I think, obviously, I was surprised that he won that match because NXT. I was surprised, but also it's cool, even if they're not trying to bring him up, because the NXT booking has been pretty linear, where it's like right when the guy's gonna come up, he drops the belt,
right,
and it's like, you know, it's textbook.
Yeah,
so it's like, hey, maybe the, like they said, Samoa Joe is the only, and Shinsuke are the only like 2-time NXT champions.
Yeah,
it seems to be like you get the belt, work for a little bit, then drop it to the next guy they want to pass it to, and that's how it goes.
Yeah,
which I like, because then the champions are more solidified. But look, Drew McIntyre, it is time to bring him back up, because first off, he's a fucking specimen.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there's always space for a guy that looks like that. Plus, he can work. And also, he's not going to get, I don't know. I don't think he's going to get much better. I think it's time to just, like, let's throw him in there and see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I guess.
I do think, though, that, like, for some reason, his era as a champion felt a little flat compared to, like, when it was like Samoa Joe or even Bobby Roode. Like, it just felt a
My
flat.
Opinion is that he didn't have amazing opponents. Like,
true.
He was going up against Roddy, who, look, I like Roddy Strong. I saw him. I saw his last night of PWG. I was there. But, like, he's not there yet either, in my opinion. The only guy in NXT right now I think is, like, could have a match you care about for the heavyweight championship is Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Ono?
Black?
Black.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Black.
He's probably going to be the one that takes it off of Almas, I think. Black.
Yeah, because they, what was that, Orlando?
I guess there's a couple guys. I guess you're right.
I went to that.
There's Black, maybe Ono, but Ono I don't think is like, They haven't. They
Vince,
haven't
Vince does
him.
Not want him on the main roster. He's a fat guy, which is fine for us, but Vince is not going to put him on the main roster anytime soon.
Vince doesn't get it with him.
Yeah.
With Hero.
No.
He does not. He's never has.
No.
But he's always like McIntyre, which is what I think he was just like, give him to me.
Which I think is like now, the McIntyre now is, I think, the one that he wanted, whatever it was, seven years ago or whatever. But I still feel like it's a little too soon. I want him to like really have like a hard-ass redemption road on NXT only because the like fickle-ass, again, like main WWE fans, they'll just chant 3MB at him.
God, yeah.
And then, like, you got Jinder around. And it, I mean, fine. If you know what? If you do
you
a thing.
You got to put him on Raw so he doesn't cross paths.
If
with
you
Jinder.
Do a thing where, like, he and Jinder, like, put. What's the other fella?
Who?
The redhead fella?
Oh, Heath Slater.
Heath Slater. Yeah. He put them on the same meal plan that they're on. And, like, they become, like, another Shield,
yeah,
and they like destroy everybody. I'm all
they should just call them
that.
Three man band. The fact that because they're gonna get chanted anyway,
call them that again. Call but 3MB. Like they're complete murderers, and like they already have a pedigree where they have a WWE champion, yeah. An NXT champion,
yeah.
tag championship team, yeah. belts around those guys, Intercontinental. Like they have a pedigree, so okay. it's not like they just go, yeah, we were a joke, and then we like.
Got yoked.
Yeah, we got yoked and got mad,
from
and then we came back. And
do you think Jinder can pull that off?
I think so.
I don't think he could do anything.
I think if he's no. I think in the same way that like Roman Reigns is so much better with the Shield. I think you put him with those two guys, and like everybody's like, oh, these guys are a joke. Meaning like the dudes that are like wrestling them are like, okay, cool, these guys are back, wank, and then they just completely destroy them, and they keep on doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you can make them a formidable team, just don't, you know, feed them to the club or anybody that I care about.
Okay.
But, like, still, like, I think you could, if you really want to stumble back into that, you can do it and just make it work. I totally think that's probably, like, the harebrained idea I have for this episode. But I think you can really do that.
I love it. I think it's super cool. I as a guy who was vocally supportive of Jinder's title run, I just saw him and I lost a lot of faith in him, even to pull off the like just tough guy angle.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I haven't really seen what McIntyre could on the mic. He's fine. Not insane, but he's fine.
Yeah.
He just looks so awesome to me.
He does.
That I'm like, why? I feel like he could fill a Batista-esque role of just like a guy who's like, hey, I believe this guy can beat major guys.
Yeah.
You know, he could come in and if they come in and they book him super strong and he doesn't fall into the Sheamus zone of just like a guy in a kilt.
Yeah.
Who's like kind of goofy. And he's like, hey, yeah, you make fun of me, whatever. Just come wrestle me. And then he starts a guy who's like almost 7 feet tall or how he's 6'5". He's big,
yeah,
dude.
He's huge.
And he does a flip over the top rope to the outside. He'll be able to get over with his wrestling because he also looks amazing.
Yeah.
What if you put him
and
with
he's
the,
scary.
What if you put him with the bar? Like him and him, Sheamus.
It'll sink him.
Sink him?
Honestly, I think it was, I mean, he needs to be with littler guys, I think.
True,
he
doesn't
walk around. But if you put him with 3MB, the history, I think he's just got to come in and just like have a big showing.
Right.
You kind of give him like a Brock Lesnar, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
what if he comes in and beats up Braun, you know, night one or something?
Right, yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what you do with him, but he whatever. I think Vince wants him. I think that's why he lost.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to make NXT less linear. All right, two more cash-ins.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most must-see cash-in segment of the week. Welcome to Huff Nation.
It's hard to do.
It is.
This is Josh Huff of Huff Nation here to cash in on Survivor Series 2017.
Is anyone going to talk about Brock versus AJ?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I've never really watched a lot of Survivor Series in the past before, other than, you know, the more famous ones, like the Montreal Screwjob. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say this year's edition, top to bottom, might be the best of all time.
Best
I could be kind of in my head right now just reflecting on it from what I just saw, but damn it, it was so good. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This was probably the best Survivor Series of all time. Arguably, unarguably, the best Survivor Series in the last 10 years.
I even like the one with Ziggler from 2014 better.
Puff Nation.
Loved that one.
Tell me what you think. Swampy Newman, donkey, whatever y'all want. This was definitely the best Survivor Series. Well,
you guys have trouble. Just end, you guys, you could just end your cash-ins. Hey, look.
Just hang up. It's like a phone call. Just hang up.
Say goodbye. Yeah. Just say bye. Just say bye. Like, like you left a voicemail.
Hey, look, you guys don't need a big finish, okay? This isn't fucking figure skating. yeah, I mean, hey, I don't want to disrespect that opinion. I didn't think it was the best Survivor Series. I will say the match none of you brought up, Brock AJ, was terrific.
Yeah,
that
absolutely
was one of my favorite matches this year.
Very I watched good it twice. Yeah.
It went, first off, went 15 minutes,
yeah.
Which is the longest Brock has went this yeah year.
I mean, he was gassed just throwing AJ around in like
he
the
was
first
fat
5 minutes. Yeah, he's
I got to go up. Brock was in bad, bad shape.
Yeah.
Bad Brock shape.
Bad Brock shape. I mean, his breasts look like breasts.
Yeah.
His pecs look breasty.
Gonna put little black bars over him on the broadcast.
Yeah, he looked a little fat. He's and someone was saying, "Oh, he must be not juicy because he's getting ready to UFC fight." That's what somebody was saying.
I feel like he's probably just bulking up a little bit because his winter's coming.
Yeah, and he's he's out in his cabin fighting wolves.
He's got a hibernation. Yeah, you're right. He got store fat. He's got a store fat for hibernation. You're right. But I he did. He did shave his beard. He had a little beard on like Monday.
Just keep it. You've seen him with the beard. You've seen him with the beard.
Yeah,
Sable must not like a beard.
He looks so good with a beard.
He looks amazing.
He looks fucking amazing. Yeah. If he just came down to the ring like that, man.
So I agree.
It's Brock's like carrying hair, like a log on his shoulder, like a full like 6 foot piece of timber, like a caber.
Yeah. Oh, a full caber.
Full caber, and then he tossed it into the ring. Perfect.
I want to comment on that for time. We got to end, but so I'll move on. But Brock, two things about Brock. He looked fat. His hair is getting like he's like it's getting so narrow.
Yeah.
It's almost like a
full
female pubic
hair.
It's like he has like a he's got like a landing strip. Yeah. He's got like on his head
a happy trail.
He's got or a happy trail. We can make it male.
Doesn't go to a happy place.
Yeah. It goes to
Suplex City.
Take the happy trail to Suplex City. Yeah, that match was awesome. AJ, he can wrestle anyone.
Yeah.
He can have a good match with anyone.
Absolutely,
it's amazing. He can wrestle a broomstick, which he said is not true. I would watch it. Yeah. I would watch that.
Yeah, I would watch it. I've seen Kevin Owens elbow smash one.
Yeah, so. Of course you have. Kevin Owens, amazing. Okay. Just for time, yeah. That match was great. The finish was amazing. I love when Brock catches somebody and he's like wobbles around like he's like it's like that. You remember there was like a board game. It was like
topple.
Yeah. It was like a commercial.
Yeah,
I 13 dead end drive. I don't know.
Yeah, my only complaint about that match is you knew how that finish was gonna go. So I felt like
you knew he was going to catch him right there,
doing the elbow. Absolutely, yeah. That's like the way that was going to go down.
Yeah,
but it's a great finish. That's like such a minor complaint, though. I just wish it would have been a little bit of a surprise. But to say that with already a great match, like it's nothing.
There was a moment in the match where he gave him the forearm, and it was like, oh my god, AJ. If this pin happens, then AJ wins. If it doesn't, he loses.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, he lost.
Yeah.
You know, like he lost just by not pinning him.
Yeah.
I mean, they went for the thing of like, oh, he looks strong. I always think it's corny when they did the same thing with Velveteen Dream. I think it's corny when the announce team says like, hey, he lost, but he had a match that made him look good.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, we know that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, all right, I see you're trying out to manipulate me. Like, I'll make that decision myself. You know? All right, one more cash in. I wonder who it's going to be.
Fluke, roll up, Bulgogi. Chill.
Fluke, roll up, Bulgogi.
12:09 p.m.
That's too low.
Monday, Eastern Standard Time. Survivor Series was fucking awesome. It's too low time.
While he wastes this time, I'll say Reigns got the IC belt.
Yeah.
Oh, he did do that.
Reigns got the IC belt, which is interesting. I don't know where they're going there.
I liked that in the way that Reigns reacted to getting it. It felt very genuine.
If you don't start your cash in too low, we're going to get to another topic.
Yeah, we're going to hit the post.
Down, take a step back and enjoy it for what it was last night because it was fucking awesome. Champions against champions, groups against groups. Fucking classic wrestlers coming out of retirement to beat the shit out of each other. Awesome spot.
This is exactly what Vince wants.
The perfect tune-up going into Royal Rumble.
We need to make Tulo happy.
Some kind of rivalry through it. Even better. But just chill out. Who gives a fuck? Last night was the most fun that any of us Even fucking Newman. Look how excited this motherfucker was on the thread.
Keep my name out of your mouth.
Cursing, marking the fuck out, having the best time of his life. I was having the best time of my life. There was so much going on. I'm looking back and like, holy shit, that happened. Holy shit, that happened. Holy shit, that happened. Just chill the fuck out, everybody. Enjoy it for what it is. It's fucking wrestling. It's fucking awesome. It's so much fucking fun. Okay? You happy? I'm bringing the attitude. I'm bringing the heat. Here we go. Let's go. Stop saying there needs to be stipulation. Enjoy it for what it
is. Here we go.
Whether it's the fucking only time.
Here we go. Let's go. Year,
and they remind us of it a million times. Who cares? Royal Rumble's coming up. We got fucking Road to WrestleMania coming up. A whole lot of amazing shit. Just let's go, baby. God. Let's have some fun.
This is like a coach.
Yeah.
This is like before the last minute of play and you're losing.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, guys, hey, guys, it's fun that we get to play the game.
Yeah.
Right? It's cool that, like, we were here and that, like, our hearts are beating.
Yeah.
And that, like, disappointment's even a feeling. It's cool that disappointment's even a feeling that you can feel.
You should be happy to be a temporarily formed glob of molecules in this time-space continuum.
It's 48 to 2. Your parents are still here, so they're going to take you home. Everything working out. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, look, the worms are going to eat your body when you're dead, but like the energy goes back into the earth, and then you're part of the cycle. So it's like you never die.
And that
I don't know. I think it's because I'm dead. I'm dead. Anyway, guys, we got to end there because I got to go do. I got my in-laws here. I got a Thanksgiving to do. Hey, everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Gobble wee. Gobble goo. Hit the cash in. Cash in. If you got your opinion, get on the show. Just like my dad, follow his lead. 316-530-2429-316-530-2429. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.